Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Okay, I am back. This is Luke Scanlon here with you on Alt Down Under. And yes, we are back, baby. It's been a short while, hasn't it? And I've got two words for you. Fuck visas. And I'll be honest, it has been one hell of a 2024. I had to leave Oz at the end of February because, yep, visa reasons. I had a little gap between my visas. And there are definitely worse problems in the world. But I had to head off to the States, Mexico, Guatemala, Colombia. I mean, I'm saying it out loud and yeah, it was an amazing trip. Then I headed home back to the UK for the first time in like a year and a half. Caught up with the friends, caught up with the family, got back into some proper English pubs. Then I headed off for sunny old Thailand. Hadn't been back there in like 11 years. So I was kind of retracing my steps from the gap year days. And yeah, did my diving course. Loved that. That was unreal in Koh Tao. Then I went up to the north in Pai. Again, having a great time. And I've ridden scooters and motorbikes a lot. I used to own a little Vespa. But one day, coming along, there's a cheeky little pothole that thought he'd pop up and surprise me. And my front wheel went straight down, came off the bike, slid across the road, into the other side of the road, got some real nasty scrapes up my arm and on my ass. And the real macho injury that is breaking your pinky. It was all a bit nuts, to be honest. I broke it in three places. Part of the bone came from my nail bed. Half the nail fell off. There was blood pissing everywhere. Not fun. And I actually passed out as well and got woken up by a local lady slapping me in the face. So yeah, all for the experience of traveling, right? And yeah, it just so happened an English couple were in their car, oncoming traffic. They luckily stopped just before where I'd come off, and they took me to hospital, got patched up, flew back to the UK unexpectedly like the next day. And so yeah, I've been here for like 2 months, so absolutely nuts. I've come back in the middle of UK festival season, but because I didn't think I would be here, I ain't got no tickets. So I've had to watch Glastonbury from home this year. It's been unreal. And then yeah, there's been a couple of bits going on around me. I've seen Kaiser Chiefs with Royal Otis support. That was pretty cool. And we've, of course, had another England fuck up in the football. So yeah, got to another final. Did we win? No comment. But Glastonbury, I mean, some of those sets, some of the ones that I watch are amazing. The Streets with Disclosure playing after them. Fontaine's DC, I mean, what a year those boys are having. Starburster and Favourite, two of my biggest tunes this year already. And LCD Sound System, another brilliant set from them. And of course, Bombay Bicycle Club, never, never ones to let you down. And they're out there wheeling out Mr. Damon Albarn as well. Pretty good flex, right? And another band playing there at Glastonbury was, of course, one band that's probably had a bigger year or 2 years than most bands, The Last Dinner Party, and just been on a little headline tour down in Australia. And I was meant to be at the Melbourne leg of that tour, but my pinky got in the way of that. So I was able to hook up two of the Alt Down Under team with tickets to go down and check that gig out for us. Shout out to Oscar and Marina who did that for us, and they just came back and said how much an amazing show that was down at Festival Hall in Melbourne. And they just said it was like the most enchanting set that they can imagine. And the raw energy coming from that band, the chemistry from them as well. And I think that has to be heightened by the fact that they have had all of these accolades, all of the critical acclaim over the last year. And they just were blown away, Oscar Marina, by how incredibly talented they were. And I know that sounds dumb, but you get it. If you're someone that loves live music and goes to a lot of gigs, obviously most bands are amazing, but sometimes, just sometimes, you see those acts that do literally take your breath away and you go, shit, man, they really are masters of their craft. It's amazing to watch when you go to a show like that. And Abigail Morris, if you've ever seen any clips of her live, or indeed you've seen them live as a band, you'll know that she is the most theatric, energetic, gives it her all performer you can imagine. It sounds like she really ramped things up for Melbourne and letting the crowd ride that emotive wave with her. She slowed things down in the middle of the show, for a bit of a weeping middle section with Beautiful Boy before reminding everyone that the dancing, singing, and sex would return shortly. And it did, to be fair. The reports I'm getting tell me she necked a load of box wine that was thrown on stage, all before doing a shoey of beer. Proper Aussie antics going on. Love to see it. And of course, the crowd went nuts for that flagship tune, Nothing Matters. Still absolutely slaps, doesn't it?
Alternative Down Under.
So, The Last Dinner Party, a band I'm sure you've come across. If you haven't, where have you been, man? Get on it. Now, onto a band that I have seen, and a band that are this episode's guest artist. A band that I've seen support the Snuts and Royal Otis in their native Melbourne in the past year. A group that are irresistibly dialed in to that beautiful new wave and post-punk energy. Sharp guitars, I'm talking driving tight drums. It is Radio Free Alice. Yes, Radio Free Alice are this episode's guest artist on Alt Down Under. And this Melbourne group have been picked up by the likes of Enemy in the UK and Triple J Unearthed down in Australia. That last track there was their latest release, Johnny, a track that they actually just finished up in London. The boys have been over in the UK and Europe for a couple of months. Not really fucking about or sitting around. 24 dates in total they played. Fuck me, they must be knackered. And they're not stopping there. They're going to have to dust themselves again because they are off on the road once again. They head out on an Australian tour, 8 dates in total, kicking off at the Beach Hotel in Byron Bay on the 15th of August. Tickets for that tour are over at the fucking trendy domain name, rfa.band. Go check it out. Nab yourself a ticket because these boys are special. And not only that, they also have a new EP, their second after last year's eponymous debut, coming at you on 21st of August, and that is by the name of Polyester. This is a really exciting group, Radio Free Alice, a band that are really grabbing it by the horns, playing all the gigs, pushing themselves, getting out there, and they just love what they do. They put so much time, so much energy into it. Let's hear all about that in my chat with frontman Noah Learmonth.
Alt Down Under.
Noah, frontman of Radio Free Alice, how are you, sir? Welcome to Alt Down Under.
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely no trouble, mate. We were just talking there because you've been here, there and everywhere. Excuse me, getting emotional. You've been here, there and everywhere across UK and Europe recently. You're looking pretty fresh, but you've got to get on a plane just after this chat to head back to Australia. How would you sum up your time? Because you've been over since like May, right?
Been over for 2 months. It's been really long. You know, I think I played like 25 shows, recording. There's not much sleep. A lot of sleeping on couches. It's been great. I mean, it's like we've only toured Australia. And even then we've only done like a handful of shows. So, and then it's just like, this is definitely thrown in the deep end. We're excited to go home, but it's been really fun. It's exciting to go home. I grew up in London, so we've been like staying a lot of like my old family friends' couches and stuff. So it's been like nice to kind of, in a way, come back to my childhood. But it's been hectic and I'm ready to come home.
Nice. So when did you move? When was it you moved down to Australia?
Well, I was 10.
Okay.
So my parents are Australian. When I was 10, we moved to Sydney, high school in Sydney, and then finished school and very quickly moved to Melbourne. escape Sydney.
Well, I just told you, mate, I'm desperate to get my own ass back to Melbourne. So hopefully I'll catch you guys down there soon. But it's interesting, man. I saw you guys play twice. I think it was when you supported the Snuts and then Royal Otis. So both gigs were at the Corner, actually. And it's interesting because obviously we've just met each other. I didn't know that. But when I've seen you live and listened to you on record, I'm like, there is a bit of a British sound in your music. I kind of hear like a bit of the Jam, a slight bit of the Clash in there. And particularly when you're live, so it's quite interesting to know that you've got that kind of British background to you.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder if, like, I don't know if me growing up here has like subconsciously infiltrated the music and like wanting to reclaim a sense of Englishness through the music. But definitely, like, we are a very like English band. I feel like live we lean more into the English punk bands, like you said, like the Jam and the Clash and stuff. But on the record, it's more like post punk new wave, but all English.
Yeah,
I don't know why that is. I've always had like a strange affinity for like even just like British subcultures and like the look of a skinhead and like a punk and something about it I've always found really exciting.
Yeah, man. Well, I think even your aesthetic when you're on stage, I'm like, when you're singing, I'm like, if I squint, it looks like a young Paul Weller.
I'll take that.
But you've got that kind of, you kind of got that mod look going on yourself, I'd say.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying very hard.
It's expensive clubber though, man. That's the trouble with trying to dress like a mod. It'll bankrupt you in fucking no time.
But it's worth it.
You'll look good when you've got no money. Exactly, mate. So you've been back to the UK. Were there any like any food that you, because British food just gets slagged off all of the time. Was there any food that you were like, I need to go and get like, I don't know, a Greg sausage roll?
I mean, we've been eating a bit at like Wetherspoons, and it's like, it's so bad.
I just did a silent fist pump.
I kind of wish there was the Wetherspoon concept in Australia. There isn't that idea of like the McDonald's of pubs. Like it's a big chain and it's like cheap and terrible. But it's beautiful. The halls are beautiful, but the food is like is verging on disgusting.
For those listening that don't know what Spoons is, you can basically get like a pint of beer and a burger and chips for like £10, or cheaper. Than that a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, this is basically sponsored this tour. But no, what else do we have? I mean, when we first arrived here, we were very excited by the English breakfasts concept. Because in Australia, like, you don't really have, like, you have, like, the brunch, like, poached egg on sourdough and some avo. But you don't have that, like, plate of grease thing that happens in the UK.
Mate, nothing will sort you out with a hangover than having a full English.
Yeah.
I mean, the healthy food in Oz is good, obviously, but then you're like, Joe, what? I just want a fucking thing of hash browns, sausage and beans.
Something very fried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's going to sort you out.
I mean, it's delicious. You feel like you're having a stroke halfway through, but sorry, go on.
You'll be going back to your friends and family and they'll be like, mate, you've put on about 20 stone. What's going on?
Exactly.
Unbelievable, man. So, mate, run me through the tour then, because I actually, weirdly, just before I jumped on, I was flicking through Instagram. Like, DMAs had literally just put a post up with like past UK festivals and gigs that they played, and they're like gutted to be missing the UK festival season because we love the English crowds. How do you think they rate? Because there's always a bit of a thing like Aussie crowds, UK crowds. How do you yourselves as a band find the reaction to your performances?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this morning. I'm thinking about like, I don't want to come across in a cocky way or anything, but I do think that like, I suspected coming over here that our music would resonate with English listeners. And that definitely felt like the case. Like, just towards the end of, like, as the show, we played most, like, a lot of the shows were in London. We just played, like, I don't know, 10 London shows or something. And it just felt like there was a sense of, like, perhaps, like, obviously, we have played much bigger shows back home, but it felt like we were picking up fans over here at a rate that was so much quicker than we do in Australia. it's just like a sound that, like, the Australian sound is like, it's like the surf rock thing that was so fucking sick of. Like, I hate it. I think that, like, yeah, it's just like, maybe just like, it's just a more natural fit over here or something. But
yeah, man,
it's felt like very easy to pick up fans over here.
I think there's, because there was an initial like bang of post-punk probably like at 2018 sort of time when you had the likes of like Shame and Fontaines coming through. And then it, obviously Fontaines are just releasing new stuff now, but I think there was a little bit of a lull in the last couple of years. There's a really good band called Egyptian Blue that are worth checking out if you haven't listened to them.
Oh, noted.
Yeah, they're really good. Egyptian Blue are wicked, man. And but it's great. I think there is that kind of hunger for a newer post-punk band coming out right now. So you probably come over exactly at the right time, mate.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, there was that post-punk explosion. But yeah, now I think maybe, like, it seems like there's a lot of bands I'm hearing that are kind of, like, doing the post-punk thing, but maybe some, they're kind of combining a little more with the New York 2000s thing, maybe a little bit. Yeah, I mean, we kind of missed the boat, but like, it was definitely like when I was in high school and I was seeing, like, as you say, Shame and Fontaines, those kind of bands were coming through, and I was like, fuck, we're going to get over there now. We're going to miss it. And then, like, it has been like a while now, and I feel like that time is, you know, it's not fresh anymore, but I think we're influenced by that stuff, but hopefully bringing something new to the table as well.
Fuck yeah, man. I was also going to say to you as well, because I've absolutely been smashing. Well, I've smashed your EP, self-titled EP, and 2010, particularly the latter. Because I was, as I mentioned before we jumped on the recording, I did a little bit of backpacking after leaving Australia. And that tune, man, it's just, I love having tunes that I know I'll listen back to in a few years. And I'll be like, fuck yeah. That was when I was off my head in Colombia. But have you found, as a band and as yourself, as an artist, being out on the road, it is a real helpful thing to kind of, obviously, go into a different place, broadens your mind anyway, doesn't it? Bit of that cliche thing, like, go and fucking find yourself, man. But did you have you found that it's helped you coming over to the UK and Europe, and it's kind of given you a bit more of a new, a fresher look, I suppose, at things?
Well, I would say yes and no, because on one level, it's like you're traveling, but you're really not. I mean, you kind of are, but you're not, in the sense that you only see the inside of a van and the inside of a gig venue and then the inside of a travel log. And it's like, you're in Paris, but you could also be in Iraq. Like, it doesn't make a difference. You don't see any of it. But so in that sense, I don't feel like we've been that influenced by the tour and being of it. But I also find that, like, we write up our stuff and we're excited. And it's been very exciting. Lots of shit's been going on. And that in itself has been massive. Like, just I find, like, the moments that we have had to write, it's been really good. And I think it's just because it's, like, it's just purely exciting. It's interesting how much, like, excitement generates ideas. It's like, you look at bands like, you mentioned, like, Fontaines or whatever. And it's, like, they've been, like, extremely hot band for years, and it's like, and they've also been releasing the best records for years. But I wonder, it's like, I think there's a slight chicken or the egg sort of thing, because if you are the hottest band in the world, that is so exciting that excitement is going to generate a lot of bangers, you know. And it's like, I mean, they're also very talented, but I think that, like, being in an exciting situation is extremely conducive to writing.
Nice, man. Do you find that you kind of have to put yourselves in those situations to get the best out of yourselves as a band then? You need to be feeling that excitement.
Yes. But you can't kind of create it. It's like, you can't pretend to be excited if you're not. And the things that, like, my whole life is music, or our whole life is music, and the things that are upset me these days is just band related, music related, and the things that excite me are band related. Like, when the band's doing well, I'm happy. It's like, yeah, which is kind of weird. It's like, even a little bit sad. My mental health is entirely contingent on the success of this band. But yeah, it's true. It's like, when the band's going well, I'm excited.
But that shows that you care about it, though, right, man?
Oh, I care so much.
That shows how much you care about your craft. So, that, I think, Although you say it might be slightly unhealthy, I think it's a very healthy thing at the same time, because that shows how much you care. If you don't care about the artistry, then what's the point almost, isn't
it? I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess you just got to try and find out, you know, what is the amount of, the right amount of caring before it gets sort of manic or obsessive.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to be sent, obviously, Johnny is coming out and the Polyester EP. Glad to listen to Johnny. And you've got the Aussie tour coming up, which hopefully, mate, I'll be back in time to come and catch you live again. But yeah, mate, Johnny, what a tune. And I love, do you know what? It's right at you from the offset, isn't it? As soon as you put that tune on, you're in it.
Yeah.
And then it's really immediate, but then the melodic guitars come in straight after. So I know there's a bit of a story in Johnny, isn't there? So I'll let you put it in a little nutshell for us.
A bit of a story in Johnny. I mean, it's just kind of about, like, I guess, like, the contradictions he feels in the family, and he feels alone and he's running away. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's also just more broadly about, like, just being young and feeling alone, feeling lonely when you're young, which I think I've felt, a lot of people have felt.
Is an element of escapism in it as well, I suppose, isn't it?
So for sure, yeah. I mean, him running away from his family is like, I suppose, yeah. It's not meant to be taken so literally, and we all you know, felt alone, and I wanted to escape as a reaction.
For sure, man. Do you find that, because you obviously have mentioned how much you're in your music? Do you find that with your music that it does provide a really nice escape for you as well?
I mean, yeah, totally. It's like we have this thing where we, like, we'll go on tour, or we'll have, like, just a really intense period with the band where it's recording or whatever. And then maybe there's a moment, like a week, where we sort of take a break, and it's like kind of back to, like, reality. And it's like doing normal things, like going back to working at the usual job, or going back to uni and stuff, and going to the pub on the weekend, just doing the normal shit. And it's like, it reminds me how much of an escape music is, and from the monotony of, like, it's such a bizarre life and it's such a bizarre career.
It's a tough career.
It's a really tough career, but it's like, that's the thing, is like, you have to be, it's like, I think, I guess, all creative pursuits, because it's so tough and there's so little money, you truly have to love it. Because, I mean, you know, no one's going to become a musician for the money. No one's going to become a musician for the hours, you know. It's purely for music. So if you aren't verging on obsessed by music, it's not the job for you.
Absolutely, man. Well, it's like the two times I've seen you live, I honestly loved you from the offset, because I think it's the Snuts was the first time. I was like, I listened to you a little bit and I went down, and that's when I was hooked, and I was like, this is a band that loves playing live. I could tell. Love that, man. Love that. Mate, if you're ready, we'll take a trip down to the Dream Gig venue.
I'll have two pints, please. Fuck, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The Dream Gig venue. Step this way.
First up, mate, I need you to give me the name and the capacity of your venue.
The name of my dream venue. Okay. I used to want to name start a band called the Suicidal Pussycats, and that looks like that's never going to happen. So maybe I'll name the venue the Suicidal Pussycat.
Brilliant, brilliant. Love that. Family friendly.
And capacity. Yeah, exactly. And capacity. I think the corn is a good capacity. I think that's like 800. Yeah,
800. That's my favorite. That's pretty my favorite Melbourne venue, man. It's fucking great.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, it is. Yeah, because the more once you like, go over that, you just start to lose energy.
Yeah, you got people talking at the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Nice, man. All right. Well, in the Suicidal Pussycat, what is going to be the free drink on tap, and what is the free food that just available as snacks on the bar?
A vodka raspberry, just to annoy people. Free food, haggis.
Mate, honestly, that is. Would you provide some mints for people as well? Because haggis has got a real.
No.
Just to let the whole smell just muster the room up. Just let it cook.
Yeah, exactly.
Good lord. All right, mate. Fair play. There'll be no one meeting that night, and they'll be like, oh, we met and got married at one of your gigs because he stank of haggis. I'm real. All right. Next up. Okay, so your headliners. Who's going to be the support act, dead or alive? You can have a couple.
Great question. Hey, I don't know if you'll know these guys. Maybe a Melbourne band called Sex Mask. Do you know these guys?
I've never heard of them. Sex Mask.
Sex Mask.
Okay, I'm going to have to check them out.
Check them out. Seriously, they've only got 3 songs out at the moment, but they're going to be the next big thing. We love them. Okay, second band. We love this band that's also friends of ours in Melbourne called Rain Dogs.
Rain Dogs. Alrighty. Okay.
Yeah. Highly recommend Rain Dogs, like the Tom Waits record, Rain Dogs. They're phenomenal. Highly underrated. Those two bands. Sex Mask, Rain Dogs. Dream lineup.
That brings me, because they are some wild band names. Where did the name Radio Free Alice come from?
Well, there's sort of like a good answer to that question, and then there's like the truthful, boring answer. But I'll tell you the good answer first, which is, well, actually, don't even know. I might be making this up. I can't remember at this point. But I think there was like pirate radio stations back in the day, similar to that movie. You know that movie, The Boat That Rocked, with Bill Nye?
Yeah. Was it called Radio Alice? I think I've heard of that before.
Was the shit called? I hope not. Can't be referencing a Richard Curtis film.
No. I think there was a station called Radio Alice, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm. Well, I think, a pirate station. I think it was a pirate radio station, and they sailed out and they played rock and roll in the early 60s, whatever. I think that's right. Yeah. I think one of the stations was actually called Radio Free Alice. But what we actually got the name from is there's a secondhand record store in Sydney, in Darlinghurst, Sydney, I believe. Now we kind of know the owner a little bit. He's a lovely guy, James Pye. And it's a great record store. It's called Radio Free Alice. And I always thought that's a great name. I always thought there's something like very like, I always loved the name Alice.
Yeah.
As a girl's name.
Yeah.
Radio Free Alice. I don't know why. I just always liked the name of that record store. And we just ripped it off.
Fair play. Well, it's like Bombay Bicycle Club was just a chain of curry houses in London.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't even know that.
You've essentially done the same thing there.
Yeah.
Love that, man. Perfect. And finally, mate, for the Suicidal Pussycat, who's going to be doing this front door security? This could be anyone. This could be a mate, someone famous.
Shit. Oh, God. The stress. I've got a friend of mine, actually my housemate, called Zach Zim. He's not a scary man, but he's got this sort of calmness to him. I call him the shaman. And I think that in a way, like, he would actually make a great security guy, because the people go, oh, let me in, mate. And then he would just go like, I'll hurt you. And then they cry and it'd actually be more effective than
like a calm mood, like a calm moodiness, like, you know, you don't want to fuck with the shaman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's some shamanic shit going on. You don't want to fuck with it. So probably him.
Love that. All right. Well, that is the Suicidal Pussycat. Thanks so much, no?
Yeah, cool. Mate, thank you, Luke. That was really fun.
Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes, Alt Down Under.
Ah, absolutely love that chat there. That was Noah Learmonth, lead singer and guitarist with Radio Free Alice. A wee reminder for you, those boys are heading back on tour. Oh, it just makes me feel exhausted. I've got to get my flight back down to Australia in the next couple of weeks. I'm tired. I've been doing nothing the last 2 months. They're heading out on an Australia-wide tour throughout August and September. All tickets are available over at rfa.band. Go and check out all their socials as well. All the links are on there. Get involved with these guys. Thanks to you lot for listening in. Ace to be back with the show. It's so good to be back. It has been a while. I did want to do it out on the road, but realistically, I mean, lugging a microphone and a laptop and all the leads and everything else, it's just not the one. And trying to find a place to record when you're in mad, beautiful places, but mad places like Colombia, there is no studio that would contain the noise of the streets of Medellin. Please do give this episode a little share for us. Give us a like, a follow, a subscribe. And yeah, tell that mate that you send links for songs to about us. You never know. It might just be their favourite new pod. Thanks again for tuning in. And we'll be back soon. See ya.
Alternative Down Under.